Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And hour number 2 is arrived. And one postscript to what we were talking about there a minute ago. In Georgia, I'm told you can be in a strip club 18 and over. You need to be 21 to buy alcohol. Now you know. Speaking of that, actually not speaking of that, but speaking of Georgia, Stetson Bennett has won the Manning Award. That goes to the best quarterback, including postseason. Stetson had some choice comments to make.
We can always, or we could, you know, this season just turn on that switch whenever we needed to as a team, you know, and because of the position and all that stuff, people, you know, talk about, you know, the quarterback more so than other positions. But, you know, I was doing what everybody else did. You know, everybody else played better. Everybody else turned it up. We had a sense for the moment. We had a sense for what was important. And we had a sense for what would happen if we didn't perform that way, which I think is probably the most important thing. You know, you can want to play hard all you want. But if you realize that, like, hey, we're done if we lose this game, then you know, it's a healthy respect, a healthy fear for the game and for the opponent. The fans who were there and the players who were there, the ones, you know, Nick and Sony, you know, all those ones that came before us, you know, the fans that traveled to Notre Dame in 17, you know, overtook that stadium when we went to the Rose Bowl that same year. I hope that, you know, everybody can remember what it was like on that ride, because it was nuts. It was nuts. You know, them hating me hating them, us falling in love together, you know, coming back, playing football. I mean, it was the, yeah, I mean, you know, Dennis, you know. I mean, it was special. And I wouldn't change a single thing. I don't think I'd be here without it being that way. You know, I hope that that everybody who was there and everybody who was with me and everybody that I was with just knows that I appreciate the heck out of it, you know, everything. And I don't know how it's going to be remembered in posterity, but I do know that I appreciate it. And I enjoy going and looking at it all. And I don't know, I took a few days a little bit ago just to kind of think about it and be like, you know what, that was, I don't know if you guys ever seen The Last Waltz, but I think that game against TCU was kind of that. It was an ode to an era.
For those of you who don't know the reference to The Last Waltz, that was a film. I think it was it Oliver Stone who did it? Yeah. Michael, who did it? Martin Scorsese, I'm sorry. Martin Scorsese did that film. It was filmed the Thanksgiving night, 1976. It was the band's farewell concert. Bob Dylan, Neil Young, countless others. And Robbie Robertson, was it Ronnie Robertson or Robbie Robertson? Robbie Robertson, they were all literally fried out of their mind during the concert. So I say all that to say that was a rather strange comparison by Stetson Bennett. Do we need to go back and drug test those guys? If they were anywhere near the condition of Robbie and the band and Dylan and all those guys on that Thanksgiving night in 1976, I want to see that game again. Let's... Man, I did like that song, Stage Fright, though. Ron is up next in Florida. Hello, Ron.
Hello, Mr. Pop Fidebon. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
First thing I wanted to say is that, man, I love the way that you handled the comment on the incident that happened with the players at the University of Georgia. That was a class comment that you, the way you handled that. I love that.
Well, Ron, thank you. And we ran out of time there, but and I, as a journalist, newspaper person in the past, I mean, you're always stuck trying to decide between the facts, what should go into a story, what shouldn't go into a story. And sometimes you just have to use common sense. And I really, maybe we can invite the editor of the newspaper on to explain it. I understand the public's right to know. I understand a lot of things. I spent my whole life, but I think this is a situation where, does it really matter? And does it really matter that whether the person was underage or not? We don't know exactly what they were doing there. Yeah, I mean, I understand. If you end up with toxicology reports that show a level over and above something, and it can be shown that the drinks were served there, then I think there's a conversation. But I don't think we are there yet.
And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That being said, the main thing I wanted to talk to you about was about Coach Prime. I don't think that Coach Prime was suitable for the Auburn job. That Auburn job is going to be tough. You're in the Western Division of the SEC. That's hard. But Colorado's the perfect job for him, for the simple reason that the Colorado job, you have two teams that are no longer going to be in the Pac-12.
Right.
That's going to be UCLA, and that's going to be USC.
Yeah, your two toughest your toughest game of the year.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So now he's going to Colorado in the Pac-12 that you have Oregon, Utah, Arizona State every once in a while. But it's really not a – it's really not a hard conference to compete in. And because now those other two schools are going to the Pac-10, there's a lot of kids that live in Los Angeles in that part of California. They're not going to want to play in the Pac-10. So now here comes Dion in Los Angeles recruiting these guys. I think it's a very smart and wise thing that he's doing. And that other thing about him wanting to go to Alabama, man, that's going to be Dabo Swinney's job if he wants that in the future.
Yeah, but Ron, back to Dion in Alabama, Dabo in Alabama. I do not believe Nick Saban has uttered his future plans to anyone, especially another coach. So if you're going to guess when Nick Saban leaves, you probably would have already been wrong a couple of times. And you'll likely be wrong again. Thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. And let's check out Todd in Tennessee. Hello, Todd.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
The reason I called is I'm somewhat amazed that Sam Hartman is transferred to Notre Dame. And that's kind of been under the radar. I mean, that kid has got Heisman Trophy potential. And the long history of Notre Dame is, you get to be a quarterback at Notre Dame, and that's halfway to the Heisman.
Can you name me the last Notre Dame quarterback to win the Heisman?
Yeah, it's been a while. John Hewitt.
what was that, 64?
But if you go into the 20s,
let me think. That was only 58 years ago. 50, yeah.
But if you look at the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, that's where we had all
the
right.
Todd, I'll be more than happy to look at the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, but we're in 2023, right? I mean, I think Sam Hartman is great. I think he will help them. Notre Dame doesn't play on the biggest stage, on the same stage it used to, though. Notre Dame is a diminished product in college football. They have a good program. I think they're coming back under Marcus Freeman, but Brian Kelly left there for a reason. They couldn't win the national championship, and there's that, and very little has changed about that. They're still not set up for that. I appreciate the call, though. JK, and tell the Hartman family hello. Hello, JK.
What's happening, Paul?
We are doing great.
Hey, Paul, I don't remember the name of that guy that called talking about Nick Saban's replacement, but let me give him a public service announcement. I'm not saying Dion won't be the next head coach at Alabama. I don't know who will be, but I know who won't be. And y'all can read between the lines all you want to. Alabama's been practicing the Rooney Rule ever since 1900. And ain't nothing going to change in T-Town. But, Paul, check this out. What in the world is going on in the Big D? Why can't they get it done? What's your opinion on why they can't get it done besides Jerry?
Yeah, I think if you excise Jerry from the conversation, you probably can figure out a way to at least get closer to getting it done. But I think he's always been the problem.
And Paul, you know what? This is just my opinion because I watched Dak when he was at Mississippi State. I think Dak is on a pedestal that he shouldn't be on. That's just my personal opinion. I don't see nothing exciting about Dak Prescott. Nothing at all. I mean, yeah, you have a good game every now and then.
Certainly wasn't the best quarterback last night. Dak Prescott is he's better than the kicker for the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, and you know what else, Paul? You got to put a lot of blame on Zeke. Where was he at? Where has he been?
He tends to go to sleep sometimes in big games.
Hey, I don't know what happened to Zeke, but Paul, he's a much better runner lately than Zeke. So I guess you got to put the blame on
I think
on
Dak
both
is
of those
a serviceable cats. Quarterback, and when he gets hot, he can be very good. But ultimately, I don't like McCarthy as their coach. I mean, there's a reason why he got run where he used to be. And quite frankly, I would fire him today and start. But you still got Jerry though. So who wants to work there?
Hey Paul, I'm gonna tell you like our buddy used to say back in the day before he ended his call. I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna let you go. Tom Brady, he was put on another pedestal, but what people don't realize, Tom Brady couldn't have got none of that done without all those pieces around him. That's why my message to the NFL and especially the Baltimore Ravens, give Lamar Jackson his money.
Okay.
And put some players
JK,
around him.
Thanks for calling, but you're completely wrong about Tom Brady. He wins in Tampa, what, first year? Did he have the same pieces?
No.
He didn't have the same pieces, and he still won because he's the best quarterback of all time. Lamar Jackson is a good, very good quarterback. He will get paid. We'll take a break here on NFL Live right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You may have seen this article over the weekend, but nobody seems to understand very much about it. And that's what happened to Ed Reed. He was hired, legendary Hall of Fame player, hired to lead Bethune-Cookman. There was some kerfuffle early on about something he said about the conditions. And then Saturday, he was gone. William Roden, a legendary writer and author of a number of bestsellers, former New York Times columnist, and now with Anscape, joining us. William, thanks for the time. You played football for an HBCU, so that doesn't mean you understand what happened to Ed Reed, but you do understand maybe better than some of us. Good afternoon, and try to sort this out for us.
The great Paul Feinbaum. Hi, Paul. How you doing, man? It's great, great.
Thank you so much, William.
It's sort of a bizarre thing, but I guess there's a general principle that if you were sitting down and talking to a group of journalism students, there are certain principles that are timeless, that were valid in 1900, valid in 1960, and valid in 2023. And one of those principles is that you don't embarrass the captain. You don't embarrass your employer. You know, you don't do that. You don't embarrass the people who are getting ready to hire you, whether it's ESPN, whether it's Bethune-Cookman. And I think that's one of the things that Ed had done. He was frustrated with the process, and the negotiations were going silently, and he put those let those frustrations boil over on social media by way of some damaging posts on Instagram. And when I saw those, I mean, there are a couple things that let me know. You know, you've covered this long enough. Normally when a school puts out a press release saying that it's hiring, you know, Nick Saban as the next head coach, you know, that press conference, the introductory press conference it comes almost immediately because they can't wait to put him out there. Same thing that Colorado did with Deion Sanders. I mean, Sanders was playing, his team was playing in the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta, and he had to fly out to Boulder to give the introductory press conference. So when I reached out after the announcement, and I reached out to Bethune-Cookman, you know, to set up an interview, and the response was, well, we're still involved in contract negotiations. We can't make him available for interviews yet. And then the next request, same thing. Well, we're kind of – then, you know, I knew something was up. You know, something was up. They probably had put the cart in front of the horse. And, Paul, I think this kind of all – they got kind of caught up in the whole Deion Sanders thing. We saw what happened with all the publicity that Jackson State got from Deion Sanders. Let's get us a Hall of Famer. And let's hurry up and announce that. And I think in their zeal to do that, you know, they hadn't thought this out. And they, you know, before, you know, they hadn't worked out the details because they were so eager to announce it. So it becomes a disaster. And then once those videos go up, you know, you say, we got to annul this marriage because we can't hire this guy, you know. So then it was just a matter of, Saturday putting out the official release. So, you know, does having played at HBCU, does that help? I don't know if it helps, Paul, but I do think that the lesson, and Earl Banks told us this a long time ago. You know, my coach, Earl Banks, had played at Iowa State, and he was all Big Ten guard at Iowa State. And then, of course, back then, he wasn't going to get a job with any of the big white schools, so he went to Maryland State and finally got the coaching job at Morgan. But I remember he told us early on, and I'm not sure why he decided to bring it up to us, but he said it's really important, particularly when you're coming from a white institution, to avoid kind of coming into this missionary mentality that, hey, you know, I work for the white man and I know what's best, you know, because I know the ways of the white man and I know better than you folks who have been at this poor downtrodden HBCU. And as you might imagine, that's not going to play well. So I think that you've got to understand when you hire these guys who are, you know, like Deion Sanders, who didn't go to an HBCU out of high school. Where did he go? He went to Florida State. Eddie George, he didn't go to Tennessee State out of high school. He went where? He went to Ohio State. My alma mater hired Ty Wheatley, great guy. But, you know, Ty went to Michigan. He didn't go to an HBCU. And I think that there's a temptation when you play at these huge universities and the big house and all this stuff, and all the resources and all the stuff and, you know, all these excesses and all this and all that. And, A, you don't get a coaching opportunity at those big schools. And the opportunity you get is an HBCU. And I think there's probably a part of you, there's probably a small part of you that's constantly comparing that experience with what you'd experience at Michigan or Ohio State or Florida State. So I know it's a long-winded way of saying that I think that Ed Reed's heart may have been at the right place, but I also think there was a part of Ed that was waiting for people to throw him a parade, you know, for, you know, coming to rescue Bethune-Cookman, you know, which has been around for 119 years. So that's just sort of my, you know, my short take. And I hope that, you know, this could have been Ed. You know, I think Ed could have been a good fit, maybe. I hope that he gets another head coaching opportunity. It'll be hard pressed for any institution to look at this and say, that's the guy we want for our program. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, leave your Instagram at home, Ed, if you're going to join our staff. Bill, let me ask you the obvious question, because, you know, everybody talks about Deion Sanders, and it's really remarkable to hear some of the comments that people are saying about him. Just from your view of having, you know, written a column for the New York Times for nearly 40 years and have been involved in this for so long, how would you describe the ascent of Deion Sanders and where he is and where it goes from here?
Well, I mean, I think, one, Paul, Deion, he did nothing that any other coach did. I mean, do you think a guy who goes coach at Akron, that's where he wants to be? No. He's going, you know, he's coaching at Akron or Toledo, or where did that guy coach before he went to, before he went to Ohio State, he went to, what was it, I'm blanking on it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Who coached it? Was it Toledo or Akron before he went to Ohio State?
Trestle.
Trestle. So, you know, Trestle didn't go where he coached just to stay there. He was used as a stepping stone. So I think that that's something that we all share in common with all of our careers, is that you take these jobs, you do the best you can, and you use each job as a stepping stone. And I think that that's what Deion Sanders did at Jackson State. He used it as a stepping stone, and I'm sure they kind of came to an agreement that they said, listen, Deion, this is what we want from you, and what we're going to give you in exchange is the opportunity to be a Division I head coach and show that you can run a program. And he delivered. He brought them attention. He brought them a recruit, which, of course, he took with him. You know,
of course.
But, you know, with the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, you know. But I think that they kind of knew what they were getting, and he left. So I'm sure they were not totally surprised. And by the way, each time that Deion Sanders got to the Celebration Bowl, he got beaten. He got beaten by a coach at South Carolina State, and he got beaten by a coach at North Carolina Central University. So there are some great coaches there. But I think the lesson, and this is the lesson I think that Bethune-Cookman and maybe other schools, listen, you know, you're looking for a head football coach. My alma mater, Morgan, they just hired, now I'm blanking on his name, but Damon Wilson. And Damon Wilson played football at Bowie State. He had a lot of assistant coaching jobs in the SWAC and other places. And he coached at Bowie State as a head coach for almost 12 years. So, and he won CIAA championships and all that. So, and he grew up in Morgan's backyard. He was aware of the legacy. So when he went to Morgan, he was sort of already fluent in HBCU culture, and he knew it. And I think that there are a lot of great coaches out there. So when you go hunting for a coach, hunt for a head football coach who knows what he's doing. Don't hunt for a celebrity, because those kind of people are few and far behind. And if you get somebody, you know, who was a big-time star at Alabama, you know, what do you think that's going to be like when he comes, you know, when he goes to Alabama State or something? You don't have the resources. You don't have the boosters. And frankly, Paul, I was talking to the president of Morgan about this. For me, I'm happy that I didn't go to one of those factories, you know, because I probably met, you know, black athletes who play at Alabama mean a lot more than black athletes who play, let's say, at Morgan. And why is that? Well, because with a black athlete at Alabama, you're part of this huge machinery that's going to, you know, the bowl games and multi-million dollar contracts and wealthy boosters who are building libraries. I mean, you know, you're a what is it? A link in a chain, in a very lucrative chain. When you're at HBCU, because of how things are going, you're basically there. You're playing football or basketball, but you're primarily there to get your degree, get your education, become a part and parcel of the struggle for equality and that kind of stuff. So I just think it's complicated, but you have to, if you're a head coaching candidate going to an HBCU and you're coming from a white institution, and I'll expand it. If you're a professor or if you're an administrator and you're going to an HBCU from a white school, I think you have to be careful not to kind of come in with this missionary attitude that I know what's best because I've been with the white man. You know, I mean, that's kind of harsh, but I think that's part of the reality here. But Deion, God bless him. I wish him well. But now, you know, he'll see because, you know, he's in the Pac-12 now. And, you know, we'll see. Everybody has got Ferraris, you know. So we'll see. And we'll see at Jackson State, they were grateful. They were grateful to have Coach Prime. Colorado, I don't know if it's the same degree of gratitude or if they're grateful, it's not coming out of the same place. They're not grateful for the same reason. So that's how I feel about that.
Always a joy to talk to Bill Roden. Bill, you be well. We will do this again soon, I hope. Take care of yourself.
All right, Paul. You take care, too. Thank you. Got it. I'll talk to you soon.
You bet. The one and only Bill Roden joining us on what happened over the weekend at Bethune-Cookman. We'll take a short break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Bubba is up next in Alabama. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. Listen, about 15 years ago, I composed a recruiting list of all the players in America and who was picked on Parade magazine and all that. I gave it to you, and you offered me a job, and I turned you down. And I haven't been brave enough to tell you why. But I'm going to tell you why I turned it down today.
Okay, so, Bubba, just help me. We're talking somewhere around 2008, right?
Something like that. I can't remember exactly.
If you could be a little more specific. At the time, I was working at a radio station in Birmingham. What type of job did I offer you?
You said I could do search research for you and do like what I did with that list. You know, like that list.
Right.
It's a list of all the players in America.
Right.
And what?
Was there a specific reason why we thought you stood out compared to the other people we were talking to?
I don't know. You just said, "How would you like to work for me?" And I said, "No, I can't."
Okay.
And that was the end of it. Anyway, okay.
So you turned me down for this job, and for what reason did you turn me down?
Okay. I have a son of cerebral palsy named Benji.
Okay.
And me and him saw a Sunday newspaper article about the Klan march in Alabama.
Right.
And they were calling for all Christians to come march against the Klan in a counter march.
Right.
So I made a sign that said, "My son may be handicapped, but my son may be crippled, but racism is our country's biggest handicap."
Right.
And we went and marched. And we got on TV, and the Klan came to the church before the march, after they had marched. The leader of the Klan came and started taking pictures of the white people on the steps.
Right.
And then after the march.
And Bubba, just to keep this story, Randy, you're with me here, right?
Yeah.
What city was this in?
Birmingham.
In Birmingham, okay. And the Klan showed up at a church in Birmingham in 2008. And started taking pictures of the white people at the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we marched, and they followed me and Ben to our car and took a picture of our license plate.
Right.
And then they started harassing me. And I wrote a book, a fiction book, about a white guy and his kid and a black woman and her kid meeting on the steps of the church and marching.
Right.
And
Bubba, this book was published when?
It wasn't.
Oh,
it wasn't published. Because the woman ended up, in my book, the woman ended up being a survivor of the bombing in the 60s.
Right.
She was downstairs with four girls and walked upstairs
at the 16th Street Church. Right.
Right. And so she's the main character, and then the white guy's the other main character.
Right.
And she's marching because...
Was this your first
she
book?
She loves...
Or had you had a best-selling series before this?
It's my first. It's okay. My first book. Anyway, it ends up being that he's marching because as a kid, he became friends with a janitor at a Catholic school.
Right.
And the white kids were calling him the N-word and dropping things and pick it up in. And he didn't stand up for the guy.
Right.
He just stood back and let it happen. So he feels guilty about what he did. So he's marching. And his son's marching because he wants to march against the Klan. And the woman, her kid, is trying to decide whether to go up his father and throw rocks at the Klan. Or go with his mom and march the Christian march.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "You'll find your Nathaniel, your gift from God, if you march with me and don't throw rocks at the Klan." So he goes with his mom. And the janitor's name is Nate Nathaniel. So the father and son are talking, the white guy. And the father says, "You know, I'm doing this for Nate." And the black kid overhears this. "Are you doing it for Nate?" He goes, "Yeah. That's Nathaniel, isn't it?" He goes, "Yeah. Mom, I found Nathaniel, my gift from God, just like you said." And so,
Bubba, listen, I think I have the gist of the story. Is there anything else you'd like to add to it before we run?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I went to post a book, and a Klan threatened me and my son.
Yeah.
set up a poster that killed us in an auto accident, making it look like an accident. So I destroyed the book.
Okay, this is the Klan in 2008, right?
Well, I'm not sure 2008, but it's around then.
Okay, listen, anyway. As much as I hate to deprive the audience of finding out whether there's a sequel or not, we're up against the break here. Back after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul. I come home Saturday. I'm off my ventilator. All I have to do is breathing treatment 3 times a day. So I'm
fantastic.
Too
so glad to hear.
To be stressed. Yes, sir. Hey, Paul, I want to make a statement, and then I'm going to ask you a question at the end of my statement. And it has to do with Nick Kirby, Alabama, Georgia. In my opinion, there's no doubt that Nick's success has a lot to do with Kirby. And I also think Kirby's success has a lot to do with what he learned from Nick. But Paul, it seems as fans and humans these days, and I'm going to go kind of jump to the Darius Miles situation and people putting down Nate Oates in Alabama. And now we want to blame Kirby for what happened, you know, with these 3 Georgia players. And I just seen on TV, a Georgia player just got arrested with a felony, false imprisonment and all that kind of stuff. But Paul, my question is, why and when are we as humans, not all of us, why do we relish in other people's failures instead of being happy for their success? Because in my opinion, Paul, if humans don't have success in life, we're all failures because we all need to chase success. And I just don't know where that mentality started coming from. And I'll hang up, and thank you for taking my call, and I hope you give me a great answer.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's been going on. I think I'm not going to try to be a theologian here, but I think pretty close to the beginning of time. I mean, there's a, you know, there's a word that people often use, schadenfreude, that describes that, basically taking pleasure in someone else's misfortune. I think, you know, I understand it in sports. If you're a fan of one team, you root against the other. But I'm not sure I really do understand it, other than there's the petty jealousies, the pettiness of life that always exists. And yeah, it'd be great if we lived in a perfect world where everyone sang Kumbaya, but some people like different songs. Thank you for the call. Britt is up next in Alabama. Hello, Britt.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Britt, we are doing great.
That's good. Hey, I want to play a quick game with you right quick. It's called Who Am I?
Okay.
I say something about myself, and you guess and tell the audience who I am.
Okay, everybody. I need some
ready?
Help here. Randy, guys, let's all play together.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to start you off easy now. All right.
Hold on a second, Brett. If you say the best talk show host in radio history, don't make me say me, okay?
I wasn't going
to. Okay, just wanted to get that out of the way.
I had it down, but I scratched it off.
Okay.
Hey, you ready, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. I was the second person at my college to win the Heisman Trophy. I barely won. I didn't like who I got drafted by, so I shunned football and signed baseball. Who am I?
That would be Bo Jackson.
That's right. That's right. Remember, this is SEC Network. Okay. Everything's SEC now.
Okay. I'm on a roll here. Let's see if we can continue.
Okay. I showed up at my college. I was a walk-on. I weighed 180 pounds. My coach came out of the tower, came down to the field, and told me I better get off the field before I get killed out here. So I left. I gained 40 pounds, came back the next year, and now I'm in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Who am I?
Ooh. It's got to be an Alabama player, right?
Well, close. I'm in Alabama, but I'm not.
Okay, well, who is
close.
That?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Please. Kevin Green.
Kevin Green, huh?
Kevin Green.
I could have been here till the end of my life, and I wouldn't have gotten that one right.
I'm sorry.
Hey, thanks for the call. It's true. He is in the Hall of Fame and was a phenomenal player. But I did not – when you said the tower, I was thinking Alabama. I didn't realize they had a tower down there at Auburn too, but they did. Do we have a tower here?
No.
If it is, I'm going up there to read that guy's book about the Klan. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.